Again, it is a solemn reminder that the funeral will have a great evangelistic emphasis, as so many people will be watching and listening. Not only the message, everything that happens should glorify our Savior and what we hold on to, what are the fundamentals of our faith, not only through the message, but through the songs and through announcements and through comments. Let us pray that the glory of the gospel and the Savior may become very clear. Even if I miss something in my communication, that the Lord may be able to compensate it in different ways to people who have no idea in pagan darkness, that they may be able to have a clear understanding of the saving grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for a very brief study on grieving with hope. Now, our children also are here, so I want to make certain things very clear that ever since Adam sinned, all of our children know about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis, and Eve's disobedience. Adam also joined with Eve. Then they sinned, and because of that disobedience, sin entered into the world. And because of that sin, everything in the world was affected. Not only man, the whole creation was affected because of Adam's disobedience. And that is called the fall of man and the fallenness of creation. And through that, corruption, sin, degeneration, decay, death, defeat, disappointment, everything entered into this world. The world has fallen apart because of man's sin. Everything was completely ruined. It is so we are still living in a broken world, in a shattered world. Quite an imperfect world. That is why we all have, most of us or many of us have imperfect health, you know, imperfect looks, imperfect challenge, so many challenges in our life, imperfect relationships, imperfect marriages, imperfect life situations, defeats of life, disappointments of life, even though we are the children of God. The reason is God has not exempted anyone in the fallen world. He has not exempted us from the fallenness and the corruption and the decay of the world. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Lord gives us eternal life, salvation, and the promise of heaven and eternal life. But in that promise, there is no promise that we will be exempted from sickness, trials, tribulation, death, and decay. So the problems, whether it is cancer, whether it is accidents, whether it is all the calamities happening in the world, God has not exempted even believers, because that is a natural consequence of the fall of man. So the pain and the decay and all the disappointments, death and loss and grief, everything is a part of our daily existence for believers and for unbelievers. But there is a difference. The difference is that we have something to hold on to. We have a foundation to stand. And God has enlightened our minds through the Word of God and through our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord will change all these things one day. And we all will celebrate in a great victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the best is yet to come for God's people. Even though we cry, we go through these difficulties and problems and trials, the Lord is always with us in the midst of those trials and those problems. Now, our children, all of you know about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. They were put in the fiery furnace. And what happened? You know, God could have prevented them from the fiery furnace, but the Lord allowed them, allowed the king to cast them into the burning fire. But there is a glorious truth there. Even though they were in the midst of that affliction and trial and that pain, the Lord appeared in the trial, in the fiery furnace, the Lord was with them. So that is how the Lord operates today in our lives. Even though the Lord may not exempt us from many problems in our life, He will join with us in the midst of grief and trials with His presence, with His power, with His protection, with His kindness, and with His mercy, consoling us, comforting us, and ministering His grace to us in a miraculous, in a wonderful way. So that is a very basic foundational truth which we must be aware of. Now, we are aware of the fact that there is a prosperity gospel preached today. Health, wealth, and prosperity. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, everything will be all right, and you can claim, name it, and claim anything you want. That is a false gospel. There is no gospel like that. Gospel only guarantees eternal life, nothing more. There is no material guarantee. There is no health guarantee. There is no guarantee for anything perfect in the gospel in our life. It only guarantees eternal life and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of God in our life, that He will guide us through our pilgrim days, that He will be with us without leaving us. Then there is another side to it, that is in God's sovereign will, plan, and purpose. God spares, you know, and God spares problems and trials. He alleviates our burdens. He rescues us from dangers. Many of us can witness to the fact how miraculously God has delivered us from accidents on the road, from deadly diseases. We were on the verge of, you know, various tragedies and calamities, and how miraculously God has delivered us. That is His sovereign will. And we cannot expect that all, but we also find that God has not delivered many of His own people, even in our midst, in our families. You know, my late brother, George, older to me, he went to be with the Lord at the age of 42. The whole world prayed for him. And I heard one brother in Calcutta praying that. I literally heard it. Lord, heal Brother George and transfer his disease back to me, because he's a great servant of God. We need him. I'm willing to die vicariously. I'm willing to take that place. Lord, have mercy on him and give me that sickness, hepatitis C. Transfer that to my body. I will take it. Did the Lord hear that prayer? No. Why? It is a sovereign will. We cannot analyze it. We cannot argue about it. Because of him and from him and to him are all things. That is God's sovereign control and God's sovereign authority. And God wants us to submit to that. So sometimes we have no answers to what happened. Even in relation to our dear sister Navya, cannot analyze it, we cannot fathom, we cannot find a reason for it. We can only say it was God's sovereign will and we submit to that. But God has promised that he will be with his people always in the midst of trials and difficulties, and he has given us faith and hope and love so that we can be sustained in this life. Now, I will read a couple of verses from the book of Romans, but before that, in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, we read, "Man who is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." You know, that is the way of the world. That is the fallenness of the world. Man who is born of a woman is full of trouble. His days are short and it's full of trouble. And Jesus also confirmed it in John 16, verse 33. "In the world, you will have trouble," the Lord said. "You will have. But believe on me, because I have overcome the world. So in your trouble, I will also give you the overcoming grace and victory that you may not be disappointed." We navigate our grief and our suffering through our personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is the only way we are able to navigate our suffering and our pain, through our communion with the Lord, through our relationship with him, knowing him as our loving Father, one who cares, one who provides, one who protects, one who loves me, one who loves you, one who loves us more than anyone else in this world. Shall we turn to Romans chapter 8? In Romans chapter 8, there is a graphic description of the grieving process of life because of the fallenness of the creation in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time," look at the word, sufferings, Paul is writing, "I consider, I reckon, I calculate," that the word logisomai means I have reached a settled conclusion. So think like that. Paul is saying, I have reached a settled conclusion that the sufferings of this world, the present time, and he is also going through that, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the sufferings, I reckon I have come to a settled conclusion. I'm not in a dream world. I know it is real. Pain is real. Hardship is real. Suffering is real. Sickness is real. Persecution is real. The Lord is not delivering me all the time. The Lord has delivered Apostle Paul, but not all the time. But he is saying it cannot be compared with the glory the Lord has promised to me. So the suffering is not the end of our life. That is not the end of the story. It continues. The story continues. And the story concludes in glory. Look at verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creation, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." So not only mankind, not only Apostle Paul, not only men and women, but the whole creation that is affected by the fall of man, by Adam's disobedience, the whole creation is waiting for the redemption, final redemption of the sons of God. Our redemption, the climax of our redemption, when we will be completely redeemed from the presence of sin and the earth will be purified and Jesus will be king. For that, the whole creation is looking for. Because the creation is groaning. The Apostle Paul uses the word groaning three times in this passage. One is, we groan, creation groans, and the Holy Spirit groans with us. You know? So, this passage is about from groaning to glory. We go to glory through groaning, not through prosperity gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ reminds us that even, you know, as we move forward to glory, our path can be, not always, it can be the path of crying and weeping and groaning. So not only we, the whole creation is waiting for the final purging of the whole world. And the revelation of the sons of God, the children of God, we will be revealed with him when he comes back in his glory. So the creation also has a great aspiration and expectation about a future deliverance. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So look at the words. In 18, suffering and glory. In verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility. Another word, that means the creation could not accomplish its purpose. Futility is the word that literally means, or the original word means, unable to accomplish the final goal and purpose. It became futile. So there is suffering, there is futility, then verse 21, there is bondage, there is corruption. But along with that, the Lord has promised glory and also liberty. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now that is about the corruption, the decay, and the disappointment, and the destruction that has happened. But Paul, again in verse 24, introduces another word. For we are saved in this hope. That means the gospel of our salvation has instilled a message of hope in us. Hope is an integral part of salvation. So anybody who has really understood the gospel, have been saved by the gospel, they are saved in this hope. So we can never be hopeless in the midst of the corruption, decay, futility, suffering, and bondage. We cannot be, because we are saved in this hope. We are not exempted from the futility and the suffering and the bondage. But in this package, hope is already given to us in the gospel. But hope that is seen is not hope. What does that mean? That means the glory that is revealed, we don't see that now. We can only wait for it in hope. So if it is seen, it is not hope. It is already realized. So the future, about the glory and about all the promises to be fulfilled, we don't see it now with our eyes, only with the eyes of our faith. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So patience and perseverance and faith, we wait for it. Dear brothers and sisters, the most comforting verse in the Bible occurs in this context. Look at verse 28. All of us know it by heart. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Have you seen the word? The verse begins with "and we know," not "but we know." You know, "but" is not the right translation. "And" is the right translation. That means he's continuing the same thought. So how can I present it? That is, I have been telling you about this, you know, bad news of corruption and bad news of decay and suffering and futility and bondage and this groaning on our way to glory. But along with these sad truths, "and we know," along with this, "we also know," we must know, we can know. That is why "and" it is continuing. It's not a separate statement. It is a continuation of the theme of groaning to glory. So in that groaning, and as we wait for the glory, in the midst of that grieving, "we also know," "and we know," it's continuing. So when we make a sentence or a statement, when we use the word "and," we are continuing it, you know. "And we know that all things work together for good." So it is important for us to know the Bible doesn't say all things are good. That is very important for us to know. The Bible does not say, some people have asked me why the Bible says all things are good for us. No, that's not what it says. All things work together for good. Good and bad things, sad things, grieving things, grief things, tragedies, defeat, all things for a child of God in God's providential plan and purpose, it works together. God mixes it together in the right proportion, in the right ratio, so that finally it will be for his benefit. And the ultimate one is to be conformed to the image of Christ. A good example would be baking a cake. What are the ingredients in baking a cake? There is oil. Can you drink oil by itself? No. That ingredient, one ingredient? No, it's not very tasty. What about baking powder? Can you eat that? No. But without that, there is no cake. So that is one ingredient. What about salt? But when we mix it all together, you know, all the ingredients of a cake, some of them are sweet, some of them are salty, some of them are, you know, we don't want to taste that at all. But when we mix it all together and put it in the oven at the right temperature for a right time, we get a very sweet and enjoyable cake. That is the meaning of this verse. All things, some are very bad, some bring tears, sorrow, questions, problems we cannot analyze. We question God. And we know, Paul is saying that we must know this truth, that God put all these things together in the right proportion, in the right mixing, under the right temperature for the right time. And then it works out together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. That hope is in the gospel, and that is our foundation in grief. We have something to cling on to, even though we don't have all the answers. That is why another important concept that goes along with hope is the concept of faith. Faith is not our feeling. Faith is not based on our theory. Faith is not something our church has taught us. Faith is not something somebody has made a comment and we think it's very, very nice, very good, you know? No. Faith is the confidence we have in the integrity of God and in the reliability of God. And as a result, that faith grows into a relationship. Faith as trust. I trust you. I trust my wife because of a relationship. Faith is a relationship. But it begins as a confidence in the reliability of God. That means what God has said is true. There is no lie in it. He will fulfill it. And I can wholeheartedly trust in him because I know him as my Creator, Redeemer, God. And his words are true, and I can always trust in him. Dear brothers and sisters, our faith in the person of God, in the promises of God, in the character of God, and our conviction about it, that is what faith is. It is not our experience or our feeling or our dream. You know, it has nothing to do with from a subjective perspective. It is all centered around in God. Suppose you go to a medical doctor and you tell him all your problems. Finally, the doctor gives you a prescription. And that prescription you go and buy. You do not know anything about that medicine, its chemical composition, you know, what are the side effects. You may know a little bit about the side effects, but how it is going to react in your body, you do not know anything. Many of the things the doctor said, you do not know. You don't have a clue about it. But you happily take that prescription, go and take that prescription as the doctor has prescribed it, because you know the doctor. You trust in the doctor. Before you went to him, you Googled and you searched, you asked others, is he a good doctor? Does he have experience? Has he treated you? And what about his record, the reviews? And you have good confidence in him. You do not know anything about the prescription, but you take that prescription. In the same way, once we know the Lord, once we know our Lord Jesus Christ and our communion with him and the promises of God, I always say faith in the person of God, in the power of God, in the promises of God, and in the protection of God, and in the plan of God, and in the purpose of God, and in the presence of God. Because God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My father told a story once that, not a story, something that happened, that he had to go and tell a brother that his wife passed away. Almost a similar situation through which some of our elders and brothers recently, you know, in the last couple of days. How will we go and present this? So he said, this is what the Lord encouraged me to say, or these are the words the Lord put in my mouth. Sister, we have a sad news for you. But we want you to know that our God, from his loving hands, sometimes gives us bitter cups, bitter. But there is no poison in it. It may be bitter, but there is absolutely no poison in it. Then they broke the news. Brothers and sisters, it may be bitter, but the word of God, the promises of God, tells us that there is no poison in it. There is a time to weep, there is a time to mourn. Ecclesiastes 3:4. The word of God allows us to grieve. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we read, We should not grieve as unbelievers grieve, but we may grieve. We should not be like the Stoic philosophers who suppressed their grief and their emotions. Our God introduces himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first verse says, God of all comfort and Father of all mercies. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So if those of us who are mourning at this time, Matthew 5:4, the Lord tells, blessed are those who mourn, because you have a reason to mourn. You have incurred a loss, a tragedy. Something has happened, but I will be there for your comfort. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to those who are of a broken heart. The Lord is near to those who are of a broken heart. These are God's promises, and faith in the promises of God. Total dependence upon the Lord because of our confidence in his integrity and in his dependability, that what he has promised, he will do. That is why, after writing that detailed description about the rapture and comforting the believers in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, what do we read? How does it all conclude? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. That is, the promises of God are given to us to comfort one another. Now, we may wonder, my wife and I, we have, you know, discussed about it several times. That is, when somebody goes through such intense pain, we are helpless, we go and pray, read a psalm. She has asked me, will that really help them? Yes, because comfort one another with these words. God's Holy Spirit can take those words and translate into a relevant existential way into that person's life and needs. In the still, small, whispering voice of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can minister God's grace to that person in a mysterious way. We do not know how. Our words cannot. That is why the word of Paul said, he wrote to a group of believers in Thessalonica who were grieving the death of their dear ones, and they were not quite sure what will happen to the ones who have gone before them at the rapture. Will they miss that? Will they be there? Then he gave all the details of the rapture. Then he said, comfort one another with these words. The Lord also allows pain, suffering, and grieving due to various reasons. One is to focus our attention on him and also on eternity. Many of you know about the Oxford scholar C.S. Lewis and one of his famous books, The Problem of Pain. A very famous quote from him, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God is calling attention through pain and through suffering to focus on eternity. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speak to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Another kind of quote from John MacArthur, which has comforted me quite a bit, that is, we all have fear. We have fear of death and fear of sickness. That is why we go to a doctor. We take flu shot and COVID shot. How many? Four, five, six, you know, because of fear. Those are natural fear, healthy fear. But John MacArthur said, many of us believers, we also have, like the people of the world, inordinate fear, unrealistic fear, nebulous fear. That is called worry and anxiety. It is no particular reason, you know. Satan is bringing so much fear into our hearts. So MacArthur said, your anxiety is in proportion to your lack of understanding of the sovereignty of God. If you are worrying too much, unrealistically, nebulous fear, unnecessary fear, that means you need to straighten your theology about the sovereignty of God. That means the Lord is the sovereign God of your life. Nothing happens to you without He allows it. So your anxiety is in proportion to your lack of understanding of the sovereignty of God, in the sovereign plan and purpose of God. God is working out His providential care for you, and He will fulfill it for His glory. Have you heard about the tears of God? Is John's Gospel chapter 11. Jesus wept. I call it the tears of God. With a family who was grieving, He shed His tears. Tears of God. He shed for a family, identified with Him. He was with Him, consoling Him. How? With His promises. Jesus wept. Is Emmanuel God with us? In the midst of fiery furnace, He joins with us. Dear brothers and sisters, we are wired for power. You know, there is a lot of electric wiring here. But if something has to work here, it has to be plugged in and the switch has to be turned on. Wired for power. But that will not bring power or light or sound here, because all these things have to be plugged in and the switch has to be turned on. We are all wired for hope and for peace and for comfort and consolation. But it will not naturally come if we do not plug in our life to the socket which gives us the power, primarily through the word of God and through prayer and through communion and fellowship with Him, and to trust in Him wholeheartedly, so that when there is a need in the darkness, you can turn on the switch and the Lord will make sure that the light comes on in your path. Plug in, dear brothers and sisters, to all the outlets of our life. In the process of grieving, that is how God gives us hope. Before we close in prayer, may we sing one of my favorite hymns, and a hymn that has comforted me quite a bit, and it's a very appropriate hymn. Scott, if you could come and lead us. Scott here. Oh, he had to leave. Is Jan here or 401, Jan? Probably you would know it. More secure is no one ever. 401, let me just read. You know, it's a very powerful Swedish melody. More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Not yon star on high abiding, nor the bird in home nest hiding. The last stanza, verse 5, what He takes or what He gives us shows the Father's love so precious. We may trust in His purpose wholly. His is children's welfare solely. Shall we sing 401?
All securities, no one ever met alone from the Savior. Don't you stop your burden, move the burden of the striding. God is wounded, tender, nourished. In his holy bones they flourish. Like a father, kind is fair. In his loving arms he bears them. Neither life nor death can ever. And the Lord his children save. Praise comforts them in tribulation. Little flock, joy then heal thee. Jacob's God will ever shield thee. Blessing God his defender, and his will for surrender. What he takes on, what is Jesus, shows the Father's love so precious. Trust him.
Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the amazing promises of your word and the hope you have instilled in our hearts and the sense of victory and the peace in the midst of death and decay, corruption, suffering, tribulation, and trial. Pray that our hearts may be comforted and consoled and give us more confidence in the promises of God as we all go through various trials and difficulties of life. Pray that we may enjoy the peace of God that passeth all understanding. At this time, we very specially pray for our dear brother Samuel Raj and the little baby, and also Samuel's father in India, Navya's father and mother, and all the extended family who are grieving. Pray that Thou may give them your consolation and your peace, and those in the family who yet do not know Thee as their personal Savior, they may understand the secret of hope, the secret of peace in Jesus Christ. Pray that during these days, as we minister to them, and as they ponder about all the things that have happened, that your Spirit may work in their hearts in your own authoritative, sovereign, and mysterious way, bring them to a saving knowledge of our Savior. We also pray for Brother Francisco at this time, and as his brother has passed away, as they are sorrowing, pray that Thou may fill them with your joy and with your peace. We think of three families in Florida in the household of faith. As they are getting ready to bury their dear ones, we pray for peace, consolation, and all the comfort they need at this time. As a family, help us to focus, as a church family, to focus more on eternity, to focus more on Thee. Thank you for giving this precious time to meditate on grieving with hope. Pray that we may go back from here with the consolation and comfort which only you can give to us. Until we meet again, let thy joy, peace, and protection and providential care be our portion. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.